Started this morning the book of Hebrews. If you want to open your Bibles to chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Glad that you're here. We're going to study in our Bible class very shortly. It was just described as a plague that began to affect the children of Israel while they're in the wilderness in that wandering period. Twice it was called that. It said the plague began. We'll see that in the next hour. Just as a play on that word for just a moment. Think about some plagues, some present day plagues. We can't go through a plague such as happened then. But are there plagues on God's people today? Are there plagues on Christians today, on local churches today? If we say, what could some of those plagues be? It wouldn't be long for worldliness was suggested. That'd be exactly right. Worldliness is a plague on Christians. Greed, you know, that comes with it. Apathy. Think about the plague of apathy. We're so content in our life that maybe we're not striving. Maybe we're not pressing on that upper way to higher ground. There's a lot of answers. There's a lot of potential answers to the question, what kind of plagues are we dealing with? Here's one that might get overlooked. What about the plague of pornography? Think about what that has done in our lifetime, how much it has grown. Not a comfortable topic. You know, both of our studies today is going to be looking at this. This one looking at the problem, the plague of it, the trouble with it. Second will be a different direction. But it's obviously not something that would be fun to talk about. There's a lot of nicer things that we could and would enjoy a whole lot more. But to ignore it doesn't do any of us any good. It's destroying lives. It's destroying morals. It's destroying families. And for us to ignore that because it's uncomfortable is wrong. So we're not going to ignore it. And we are going to talk about that. And there was an interesting, I guess, originated with a court case back in the 60s where there was a pornography case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And lawyers doing what lawyers are supposed to do, you know, kind of throw some, especially from the defense side, trying to throw some muddiness out there and arguing in front of the justices, the nine justices. Well, I don't know. How do we even know what pornography is? How do you define it? And one of them named Potter Stewart, you might remember the name. Justice Potter Stewart, basically in his writing, said, you may be right. It may be hard to define, but I know it when I see it. And so don't get bogged down in a definition. Anything, whatever form of communication that we're talking about that is done to, that intends to excite lascivious thoughts, done to bring up amorous feelings. That's what we're talking about. Whether we're talking about images and pictures, whether we're talking about videos, whether we're talking about writings, whether we are talking about call services, they would all fit in that idea of lasciviousness. And when you start looking at it through that telescope, it bombards the mind. It has filled our culture up. And let's just be perfectly blunt with it, guys. I mean, realizing the study we're in, we want to be clear today, but there are children here as well. We have to be careful how we phrase things and while still getting the point across. But let's make sure we understand, guys, we're more susceptible to this. It is the number one corrupter of males. The tendency is to look. Ask David. The tendency is to lust. Ask David. The temptation is real. And we're going to look at it in this first study, the problem of today. But it's not just a problem today. It's always been a problem. You know, Darby and Trevor on their honeymoon went to Italy and did like a quick tour of all the big sites, the big towns. And one of the places they went to was Pompeii. And they came back here, so and of course they had pictures. And they you know, just showing us all the things that they saw. But one of the interesting things when they were talking about Pompeii, remember, which was covered up, Mount Vesuvius covered the place in AD 79. Think about that, AD 79. We talk about the first century church. We talk about first century Christians. That was first century time period. AD 79, covered. And as they excavated, as they dug, there were drawings all over that town. I've never been there. I'm just showing you what those who have been have. There were drawings all over town, all over walls, all over floors. And they were of a pornographic nature. AD 79. Don't think we're the inventors of this. First century. It's an issue. So let's look at today in this first study the problem that it is. And let's make sure we just emphasize that this is not an American deal. This is a worldwide deal. It doesn't matter where the Christian's living. You have to be an American saint to have this issue, to have this problem. Who struggles with this? Society struggles with it. And it doesn't matter what society we're talking about. Who deals with this? Who struggles with this? Culture. It doesn't matter what culture we're talking about. Our neighbors. Our workmates. Our brethren. People whose mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what you can add to that? If we're not careful, we put ourselves in that. Not just neighbor, not just work, us. In an audience this big, somebody here is dealing with it right now. That's what the numbers say. The numbers are very clear about that. I'll give you some in just a minute. As a matter of fact, let me do that right now. Just make sure I don't forget it. These are 2017 numbers from WebRoot, whatever that is. So maybe you not know what that is, but that's just 2017. So if anything, these things have gone up. 2017, every second, over 28,000 at any given moment using it. 28,000, bam, 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 every second. In America, 40 million regular users. 35% of downloads are related to it in some form or fashion. Every 39 minutes, a new video uploaded, put out, available. This is incredible. 25% of all search engine queries. One out of every four that somebody is typing, looking for something. That's what it's about to in some form or fashion. That was 5 years ago. Again, if anything, those numbers have gone up. So for somebody to say, oh, you're talking about pornography, you know, that's only an issue with right-wing prudes. Wake up. It's a problem. And it's a growing problem. It's easier than it's ever been. And it doesn't take any boldness anymore. I can remember as a young kid being in a store and where the magazines are, and some guy goes in and he picks up a magazine with a brown paper bag around it. Anybody here? Am I the only one remember that? Brown paper bag. And I could see it. He has to walk up to the counter. He has to pay for it. And the brown bag has it wrapped. You don't know what's in there, but you do know what's in there. There was only one type of magazine that was wrapped up in brown. It took a little bit of boldness to do that and let everybody know. If it was mailed to the house, it came in a brown envelope. People would know. Don't do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. Nobody does that anymore. It's now available through the internet and through phones and through all the... And it's secretly. No boldness at all. And it's so available and it's so easy. And for the parents, there was one time I'd forgotten how... I'm bad with... The older I get, I'm getting badder with ages. One of our nephews, in my mind looking at him, probably 2 years old. So he's a toddler. Walking, starting to talk, but not in full sentences. And one time he had gotten either his mom or dad's phone one. Can't really talk, but he knows how to swipe left. Remy got my phone. I don't even know how he got it. 3 or 4 weeks ago. After they had gone home, I start looking at it. He had taken almost 200 pictures. It was a picture. I don't know. 4 years old, he can't read. But he knows how to get a phone. And he knows how to get to the pictures. And he knows how to take them. You think he don't know how to... It won't be long before he knows how to look at them. That's how easy it is. Kids who can barely talk and walk know how to maneuver it, at least to certain levels. Parents, you know how you are so much better at technology than your parents. That's exactly what's going to happen when your kids get older. Unless that's your job, unless you are some IT and you stay up abreast of it, your kids are going to know more about it than you do, just like you know more about it than your parents do. And you got to deal with that. Because that's how easy it will be for them. And if you've got teens, that's how easy it already is. Wake up. That's the problem, and that's the growing nature of it. Another thing that makes this such a horrible problem is it's uninvited. It's just there. You don't have to go looking for it. It's like there's a magnet to every one of us, and it comes looking for us. It just pulls ourselves to us. It pops up, and you're on a new site. All of a sudden, you're on a sports website, and all of a sudden, this thing pops up in the corner. It comes hunting you. Emails that are unsolicited. Ads that are unsolicited. Text. You don't even know how they got your number, but it's inviting you to click on it. And you can tell from the domain exactly what it is. You don't have to look. It looks for you. That's the problem of it. You drive down the street and half-dressed people on billboards. You get tricked into a movie that seems to be wholesome, and all of a sudden it's not as what you might have thought it was going to be. It's there. And we have to deal with that. We have to navigate around that. Hebrews chapter 13, before we go any farther, we've talked about this problem. One thing we've got to make sure we do, unlike the Israelites who we are studying about, the murmuring, the complaining, and everything's God's fault. This is not God's fault. The problem that we are talking about is not a sex drive problem. The problem that we are talking about is not handling it correctly. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. The sex drive isn't the problem. That is natural, and that is God-given. And He has also given a way to fulfill that, to control that. So the problem is not God's. The problem is us. So let's acknowledge it. There's a problem, and it's worldwide. But don't just be so generic as to say it's worldwide. It's a problem for us if we're not careful. So let's build on it. You know, it's a worldwide problem. You know, so is this, and so, you know, there's a lot of worldwide problems. This is not just a problem. It's a dangerous problem. This is not, some problems, hey, you just, yeah, that's a problem. I wished it would go away. But, you know, if it doesn't, I can handle it. This is different. This is not just something that would be nice if it didn't exist. This is a problem that is very easy to grab onto. Again, it finds you. It just pops up. It's easy to grab onto. Very hard to let go of. Because there's an addictive nature to it. How many 60, 70, 80-year-olds do you know who started smoking 40, 50 years ago before not only was it not recognized as being dangerous, it was actively lied about by the tobacco companies themselves. But easy to grab on, it's hard to get rid of. It's easy to reach for the drink. Ask an alcoholic how easy it is to come out of it. It's easy to place the first bet. Ask the ones who are addicted to gambling, who've lost everything, how easy it is to let go. Pornography is the same way. There is an addictive nature to it. And just like smoking, where you go from 5 a day to a pack a day to 3 packs a day, just like drinking to the occasional 2, you can't calm down without it. It becomes just a daily part of life to the alcoholic. Pornography is just like it. It takes more. And it doesn't just take more. It takes harder versions if you're in long enough. And you just it goes from this to this, and then there's the harder, and then in time it builds, and children are involved. Disgusting things can happen because of the nature of this. There's this pull to it. To the young ones, to the parents who have young ones, there's a curiosity to it. And don't pretend you don't know what that curiosity is, male or female. Don't pretend that your kids are going to not have the same curiosity. It's a problem. We better recognize the nature of that, the spreading nature of that. Because the progression is, there's this pull, there's this curiosity, then there's the addicted nature that may set in. And as that grows on, and we're talking about Christians here, not worldly minded, remember that there's the plague of worldliness, but we're fighting with that, right? So what about this? It goes and it grows and it grows and it does spread like it does, and then there's the shame that comes with that. There's the guilt that comes with it. There's the pain, the humility, the tears, this idea of a Christian living a double life and knowing it and hating it and then going right back to it. The way of the transgressor is hard, huh? It's not just a danger because of the addiction. It's not just a danger because of the spreading nature of it. It's a danger because of what it has done to homes. And what starts out secretly doesn't stay secret forever. First of all, we'll talk later on. God sees. We understand that. But you know, it's a secret until the wife finds out. And then there is World War III in the home, and it's moving at Mach 5. It's moving at the speed of light. Because there's all these feelings that then come up. And there's what pornography will do is it allows for comparison shopping. All of a sudden, we begin to think, you know, my life's a little boring. Dissatisfaction will set in. Loss of self-esteem sets in. Infidelity, again, a crazy number, but that's what the numbers say. Infidelity increases 300% for those who have been at this for a long time. That's an incredible rate. That's the danger that we're talking. It's not just a danger to the individual. It spreads. It doesn't just spread within it spreads within those who are contacted and who love them. So it's a problem. And it's a problem that can grow. You know, a lot of things can be a problem that grows. COVID was a problem, and it grew. But COVID wasn't a heaven or hell problem. A Christian can die from COVID and spend eternity in heaven. A Christian can die from cancer and spend eternity around the throne of God. This is not just a problem. This is not just a growing problem. This is a problem that has eternal consequences. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. This is a heaven and hell problem. Matthew chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is in that long, long section where he's comparing the law to something that is going to take its place. This is a sermon that we would call preparatory preaching. Preaching about the kingdom, just like John the Baptist preached about. He says, you've heard this, but I say to you. That's why he was preaching with authority. No scribe could do that. No scribe could say, Moses said this, but I'm telling you this. No, they couldn't do that. Jesus could. He spoke with authority. In the midst of all that, in verse 28, he says, I say to you, authoritatively, I say unto you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus is condemning this What we are talking about right now, this idea of looking to the point of lasciviousness, looking to the point of lusting, pornography, as we have been discussing. Jesus just condemned it. Didn't call it by name. The word wasn't even coined at that time. We're looking for principles. To look with lust leads, remember, it spreads. It leads to an impure heart. We talk about implications. We talk about necessary inferences. That's exactly what verse 28 is saying. You look to the point of lust, and it goes from the eyes to the heart. And when it goes to, and now there is this line, and it's not imaginary. Now there's this line that we have crossed over into sin. And sin condemns. Gazing leads to other things. You may have heard the phrase, hey, you can look, but you can't touch. You know who said that? Satan said that. You know who repeated it? Anybody who's working for him, whether they know it or not. They're on his side. They are aiding. They're one of his angels. They're one of his minions. They're one of his followers, whether they would confess it or even know it. Because that's the exact opposite of what we just read here. Oh, you can look, but you just can't touch. Stop it. Looking to the point of lusting is sin, and it's condemned. Turn to Galatians 5. Again, the word wasn't coined. But there's a lot said about the emotions that it pulls out. There's a lot said about the feelings that it leads to. And those feelings are condemned too. Galatians chapter 5. I know we know this. Our kids learned this as memory work. Look in chapter 5, verse 19. Those works of the flesh as compared to the fruit of the Spirit. But in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are known. They're not hidden. Well, what are some of them? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Remember that phrase. We're going to see it again. Uncleanness. Newer versions use the phrase impurities. With lust in the heart, is that clean or is that unclean? We have to have a PhD to know that. Is lust in the heart, would we call that a pure heart or an impure heart? Do we have to have an Ivy League something hanging on the wall to figure that out? Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. There's that phrase we talked about earlier in the definition. These sexual desires, these sexual fantasies, the sexual thoughts. Look down into verse 21. Probably as close to the word pornography as you can find in the scriptures. The very last phrase in verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Anything similar to it. So, uncleanness and anything like it. Lascivious thought and anything like it. Look at that last phrase in verse 21. He said, these works are manifest. They are clear. They are made known. It's interesting. He kind of ends with that same idea. I have told you in the past that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is shout not hard to understand? If we want to be like the lawyer that was before the Supreme Court arguing about semantics, arguing about definitions, well, what exactly is this? Do we have a problem understanding what the ones who practice this will not make it to heaven? Is that not understandable? I've told you before, I'm telling you now, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus condemned it while he was on earth. And now the apostles are condemning it as his ambassadors. Look in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Look in verse 2. Actually, back up into verse 1. Let's just set this whole paragraph up. Be ye followers, imitators of God as dear children. John led us in a song. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in us. Be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. Live. That word there, just a fill in for the phrase living, our character, our conduct, our life itself. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. There is a life that is incense. There is a life that smells good to God. It's pleasing to Him. Verse 3, but... And now what he's going to say is there's also a life that stinks. There's a life I can't tolerate. I won't let it into my nostrils. But fornication and all uncleanness. There's that same word from Galatians 5. All impurities. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said to look to the point of lust pollutes the heart. It's not pure anymore. It's not clean anymore. All uncleanness or covetousness. Don't think that lusting after one we don't have a right to. That is coveting. Something we don't have. Something that's not ours and we have no right to it. It would meet this definition too, wouldn't it? All uncleanness or covetousness. Let it not be named among you as becoming saints. The idea of it doesn't fit. We sometimes will throw the phrase out, even might not even understand it fully what it means. Oh, that's not very becoming. This is not very becoming. It's not very proper. It's not very fitting in the life of one who sings songs that we live in Christ and that Christ lives in us. It's a problem. It's a big problem. It's a growing problem. It's a problem that can get a hold of us. It's a problem that affects homes and marriages and loved ones. And it's a problem that'll pollute the heart to the point of uncleanness and impurity in which we're no longer in fellowship with God. There's why we can't ignore this. There's why, as uncomfortable as it might be, that's why, as much as we might like to just throw the brakes on, hey, let's go talk about grace a little bit. That's why we would be wrong to do it. We can't be neutral about this. So, we're about to throw the breaking point down. But if anybody here would acknowledge what we just have looked at, it is a problem. Anybody didn't argue with that? It is a problem with addictive natures. You go back. You go back. You go back. It is a problem that can affect others in the home. It is a problem. Like the verses that we looked at, we just looked at three of them. That's enough to hammer it down. It is a problem that affects souls, not just minds. So now with that, if we will agree to that, then we ought to be doing everything we can to remove and put ourselves from this. When COVID was a problem, worldwide problem, spreading problem, scary problem, there are people who didn't leave the house. And when they did, they looked like they were armed out. Gloves, mask. Why? Because they were worried about it and they wanted to make sure it didn't infect them. This is a bigger problem. And maybe we're not doing a whole lot to protect ourselves from it. Could you imagine some poison, some recognized poison that everybody knows the danger of it, the power of it. Would you have it sitting out on the coffee table? Letting your kids walk by it? Letting your infants walk by it? No, you would not. You'd have it under lock and key. You would have it in a place they couldn't get to it even if they were looking for it. That's what we would do. Could you imagine we understand the danger of some viper, some poisonous snake, and then walking up to it, getting as close as we can, trying to pick it up by the tail, get it up so we can get a good look at it. You know who does that in this room? Nobody does that in this room. Not a poisonous viper. And yet here's something that worse than all of it to the soul. And we pick it up anyway. Maybe see how close we can get. Might not have it very, just readily available. We don't do that with poison. But we do it with this. We just need to change the way we think. That's going to be our next study. Because the question now leads to, are we helpless about this? It's a problem. Okay, yeah, it's a problem. Is it a problem we can't do anything about? It's a problem that can grab a hold and hang on tight. Does that mean we are now at its mercy? Not a thing under the sun we can do about that? It's a problem that puts our soul in jeopardy. But we just have to live the rest of our life in jeopardy? We can't do anything about it? The answer to that is no. It is not a problem we are at the mercy of. It is not a problem that there is no answer to. It's not a problem we can't get control of. So that'll be our next study. That's what we're going to look at when we come back in together. This was the problem of it, and it's real. In our next study, well, okay, what do we do with this problem? What do we do if this problem is front and center? This problem is in my life. This problem is in my home. This problem, like Matthew chapter 5, has made its way into my heart. What do we do? Because throwing up our hands and quit is not the answer. There is an answer to what we do with it. We're going to look at that in our next study. Get your songbooks out. I mentioned one of the things that makes this such a growing problem is the secretness of it. You know, you don't have to go to get that brown piece of paper. You don't have to let the mailman know how you think. We might can keep it a secret a long, long, long time. God knows. If there's any lesson we get from Jonah. And it's not the only lesson, but it's a very clear lesson. Go to the bottom of the sea. David's in one of his songs. I go to the top of the mountain. Do I go to the bottom of the abyss? Where do I go where your presence isn't there? That is not oppressive. That is, oh no, God sees. Oh no. Be thankful. God sees. He knows what we're struggling with. He knows what we're dealing with. He is aware and He is available. We've just got to come back. Call to repent Him. So, if there's something hindering our ability to worship, if there's something hindering our ability to be led in prayer, but we know we're not making it to the throne. Singing songs, but it's not a nice smell because there are things in our life that God says aren't befitting, they're not becoming of a Christian. But we'd be foolish to just hang on to that. There are things we shouldn't be grabbing onto and there are things we shouldn't be hanging on to. That's one of it. If there's something preventing your ability to worship right now, fix it. Won't we stand and sing?